This is the morning sermon from Hillcrest Chapel in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Gary W. Custis is preaching and teaching through the Gospel of John. For more information on Hillcrest Chapel, please visit our website at www.hillcrestchapel.org.
The main thing should always be the main thing. This rather obvious statement has many different applications. But in the ministry, the main thing is the truth of God. And the truth from God and Jesus Christ is crucial in giving the gospel. The truth from God in Scripture is necessary for living the Christian life. And our faith is firmly founded upon God's truth. And this is most important for us to remember because there's a great battle for truth taking place in our world today. The non-Christian, the humanist, derives all of his or her truth from mankind. Man-made laws and rules become the guiding light for life. Man-centered life is certainly possible in this life, but there is no certainty that these man-made values are true or absolute or even meaningful. So the forever quest of the humanist is to find meaning in a meaningless life. And this pursuit will never find the truth, but it will also be hostile to those who stand for the truth. And that would be us as Christians. We believe the Bible to be a revelation from God. We believe it is the Word of God. We understand that God created the world. He holds it in place. He is the truth. We live in a world created and ordered by Him, and He, as the absolute truth, is the meaning of life. And He gives meaning to life. So the battle is on, the battle for truth. And the humanist says there is no truth other than the truth that is found in man. The Christian says there's no absolute truth other than the absolute truth that is found in God. And in many instances in our world, we look about us and we see the humanist is prevailing. And just yesterday, I walked through the mall. And when you walk through the mall and you look about, you say, the world is prevailing. There are many things that you see contrary to God's truth. And many moral issues today have been decided and imposed by humanists. Man thinks he knows what is best. He thinks he knows what is moral. He thinks he knows more than the God of the Bible. And he's wrong. Whatever he decides, he still lives in God's world. It's ruled by God. And God will always prevail. Individuals will come and individuals will go, but the Word of God is forever, and God is forever. So the challenge that Christians face is to live in man's world by the rule of God. And whatever man decides, we must obey God. We must be faithful in declaring the Word of God. It may appear that we are losing the battle of truth, but the truth of God never changes. It is forever true. It is forever powerful. And the ministry of Jesus Christ is a great example of the ministry of truth. Jesus repeatedly claimed that he derived his truth from the Father. He clearly understood the authority of the Father in this world and the power of the truth to save the lost and to transform those who are saved. And this ministry of truth continues today. It's a great ministry of truth. Let us be found faithful in standing for the truth. So turn again to John chapter 8, and I want us to look again at the ministry of Jesus Christ. Here in this passage, he presents himself as the light of the world. And presenting himself as the light of the world would indicate that the world is in darkness, and Jesus Christ appears as the light. He appears as the truth, not just his truth, but he appears as the truth from God, the truth of God. He is God. He comes with the truth. He comes with this truth from God. He just says, I come from the Father, shining the light of His truth in this world of darkness. And what's interesting is when you observe John chapter 8, you see this wonderful statement of, I am the light of the world. And the rest of this passage is about the light of the world shining in darkness. And you see opposition. You would think if Jesus Christ comes as the light of the world, when the light shines, everybody go, there's the light. Let's walk in the light. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and He comes and He shines the light, and there's opposition. They say, we don't want the light. We'd rather be in darkness. And it's interesting to see how He approaches that. Because you might expect, if it was one of us, that we would shine the light of truth for a while, and then we go, you know, this is not going very well. I'm quitting. I'm done. It just doesn't seem like these people want to hear, and they don't seem to be hearing, and the more He talked, the more they did not want to hear. But what Jesus Christ does, and it's very fascinating, is He just keeps shining the light. He keeps shining the light. You say, that's an odd strategy in one sense. When people say, we don't like the light, you've had people that you've talked to, and when you've talked to them and you start talking about Christianity, they're like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to hear that. I don't want it anymore. But what He does is He says, when faced with these ones who say, we don't want to hear the truth, we don't want this anymore, He continues to tell the truth. Why does He do that? And the answer is, because Jesus is the light of the world, and the Holy Spirit is the power which takes that light and impresses that upon the hearts of individuals. That's why I said why the Scriptures say that the light of the world is a powerful light. It's not a light that will be snuffed out by the world. It's a light that will prevail. That's why the Scriptures say the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, in the fullness of that kingdom is coming, where the light of His truth will prevail on the whole of the earth. It's an amazing thing to think about. We look at our world today and the light is not prevailing. But it is. In your heart, in my heart, in the hearts of many, in many churches where the Word of God is proclaimed, the light of God's truth is shining. And it will shine until it prevails. It's a great hope we have in Christ. But when Jesus Christ was speaking, and He as the bread of life who brings life to this world, and He the light of the world who brings light to this world, both of those things come from God. He recognizes that. And you'll notice when Jesus Christ is speaking, and please observe this passage. In fact, read John chapter 8 during the week. Just read and look for the things that are there. But you'll see one of the things that Jesus Christ is continually doing is He's saying, you need to understand I'm coming from God. I'm from the Father. And the reason for that is because this book and Jesus Christ both are revelations from the Father. Jesus Christ didn't come to the earth and just say, well, I'm just doing my own thing. I've just decided I've got some new ideas. I'd like to give them out. He wants them to say, what you see from me is exactly what the Father told me to say and what the Father told me to do. Before we look at this passage, that is fascinating. Because Jesus Christ is God. He is the Son of God, but He is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, one mind of God, one heart of God, one will of God, one God. And yet the Father is directing the Son in ministry. You know, there are many times, I've said before, many times in the Bible when I'd like to have been there, to see the things that are done. Many times. I would like to have been there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. I just love to see that. I hope they got it on video for heaven. When we get there, we can see all these things. But I'd love to see that. I'd love to see when Jesus Christ went and healed people. Man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. He stretches forth his hand, it's whole. I'd like to see that. That would really be great. But there's something that would be more impressive than all of those things. And that is to be able to be with Jesus when he's praying to the Father and to hear him. Furthermore, to hear the Father back to him. Because that's really fascinating, because Jesus Christ gives the impression, he goes to the Father every day and says, okay, what would you have me reveal today? What would you have me do today? Now, that can't be what happened, because he is God. He has the same knowledge of God. It's just interesting to think about it. And then the Father says, well, I want you to go and do this today. And I want you to say this today. And this is what I want presented. And because this is the Father's revelation. This is not just the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is the ministry of the Father. And so Jesus Christ makes it very clear, maybe in just describing this in anthropomorphic human terms that we may understand, but he just says, I want you to know something, and this passage really emphasizes it. This is exactly what the Father wants you to know. This is exactly what the Father wants you to see. This is exactly what he wants you to understand. I am the revelation, Jesus Christ is saying. I am the revelation of the Father. And when you hold up this book, this book is exactly what God wants you to understand. This is exactly what he wants you to know. This is exactly how he wants you to live. And what you are to believe. And he was just as careful with this book as he was with the ministry of Jesus Christ. And that's very interesting. I can understand the scriptures more, because the scriptures were written by human authors, and God inspired those human authors so that using their own personalities as they wrote the text of scripture, you have the very word of God. Well, I know God can do that. But what's interesting is when God is dealing with God in revealing, and Jesus Christ says, I'm absolutely dependent upon the Father for this ministry. Saying exactly what God wants him to say. So it's, from my perspective, I would be fascinated to hear this prayer of the Son to the Father, as if he's saying, what do you would have me to do today? What would you have me say today? Who would you have me heal today? What kind of miracles do you want to see today? What am I to do exactly? But he already knows all of that. So that's why it's so fascinating, because Jesus Christ knows that he's the Son of God. He knows he's from heaven. He knows he's here. He knows the will of God. He knows exactly all of that. But look at the text of Scripture as he speaks. Look at verse 25 in our passage. John chapter 8, verse 25. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Now many look at this statement, who are you? And they look at that and they say, I think there's sarcasm in this statement. It's not like, who are you? Like, we're really looking for the truth. It's like, it'd be more like, who are you to be talking this way? Who are you to be claiming to be the Son of God? Who are you to be claiming God as your Father? Who are you? But there's a lot of questions in this passage. I mean, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And the first thing they say to him is, you're bear witnessing of yourself. There's no other way the light of the world can reveal himself other than bear witnessing of himself. He's the light of the world. He comes from God. So, I mean, he is. There's no higher authority that you can apply to someone who is the light of the world, bearing witness of God himself, than God himself. So the best you can do is hear what he has to say and see if there is contradiction with the Bible or the Old Testament scriptures, or see if it's all consistent or if it's true. That's why we search the scriptures and we study the scriptures. But Jesus Christ comes and they say, you're bear witnessing of yourself. Well, of course he's bear witnessing of himself. He has to do that. And then they say, well, who are you? Who are you to come here and say these things? Who are you to come and speak these wondrous things of God? Who are you to claim to be the Son of God and that God is your Father? So I think there's an element of truth to that interpretation or to look at this question. I'm not sure it is the question of a true seeker. I think it's the question of those who are expressing doubt. They're in darkness, and here's the light shining, and they're like, what is this? Who are you? It's a very strange thing to say at this point in the conversation, but they're looking at him, and I think it's just more like unbelief that expresses itself in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how does he answer? He doesn't say, well, I'm Jesus Christ, and I come from heaven. And he just says, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. Says some of it is placed in the context of, you know, what have I been saying to you from the beginning in the form of a question. Well, what have I been saying? Have you been listening? I'm the light of the world. I've been shining the light. Have you been hearing? And remember, we said the world is in darkness, not only on the outside, the world is in darkness on the inside. So when the light brightly shines, you're still dealing with the darkness of the human heart. And the human heart, unless it's touched by the hand of God, will never come to an understanding of the truth. So I've been saying this to you from the beginning. Beginning of what? Well, probably, you know, people debate that, say, well, from the beginning of creation or from the beginning of time. But I think it's probably the beginning of his ministry. He comes, he's the light, he shines. From the beginning of the ministry, he's been declaring himself to be the Son of God. And then he says to them, he makes a statement. First they ask, he sort of challenges them in their darkened understanding of who he is. And then he says to them, I have many things to speak. I have many things to say to you. And I have many things to judge concerning you. But you're not hearing. I have many things. It's like they say to him, who are you? As if, who are you to say these things? And he says, I want you to know, I have many more things to say. I have the whole of the revelation of God to say to you. And the whole of the truth of God to say to you. So it's like the light never backs away from shining. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes in a dark place and you have a flashlight, especially if you have a really bright flashlight, you're walking down a trail and you shine it in somebody's eyes, they're like, oh, you turn it off. Oh, I need to turn it off. Jesus Christ never turns off the flashlight. It brightly shines and they're like, who are you to be shining the light in my eyes? It's like, keeps it shining. Everything has a sound effect. Have you ever noticed that? Even light has a sound effect. I don't know why that is. But he shines the light. They say, turn the light out. Who are you? But he goes on to say, I have many things to speak. We're going to hear the things of God throughout our whole experience in heaven. We're going to be studying the vastness, the greatness of our God forever. I have many things to speak. I have many things to judge concerning you. And then he goes back again. Because he who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. I don't only speak to you, I speak to the whole of the world. I'm the light of the world. Not just the light of the nation of Israel, not just the light of the Jews. I am the light of the world. I come as the light of the world. And this is really expressing the authority of his ministry, not only in Israel, but the authority of his ministry as the revealer of God. There is no other revelation that comes from God that is like the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Bible. There's nothing like that. And I heard a great illustration of that this week. You're going to have to... I just heard a great illustration that sort of, I think, puts a good illustration of this point. And that is an illustration about sports. You say, oh, well, some of you will say, I don't really care about sports. Well, you'll understand this illustration because it's not very specific, it's just very general. But when you have a sporting event, What you have in a sporting event is you have two teams that are in competition with one another. You usually have the home team and the away team. I know this is getting very sophisticated for some of you, but hang on this. The home team and the away team. But you also have another team that's out there on the field. And that's the team of the referees or the umpires. They are also on the field of play. But the umpires that are on the field of play are not to favor either of the teams. But rather, they have the game plan. And it is written in a book. And they are to not only memorize the rules, they are to know all about the rules. Further, there are some obscure rules. I had a friend who played basketball, and he came and he had this book that was for referees, and it had all of a number of obscure things that have happened, actually happened in basketball, which is why I would never want to be a basketball ref, because they were obscure things, and you know, he read these things, and he's like, well, okay, what would you do if this happened? And he reads this thing like this, and I've got, well, I know the game of basketball, but I don't know, have any idea what I would do if that happened. And then he read another one. And this is all of these special things that the referees, they have to know all those things too. They have to know the whole of the game because they are to officiate the game. And they have their authority to do so, not from themselves. But they have the authority from the commissioner of that sport. Who he is the one who has the rule book that gives the rule book to these individuals, and they have to know the rule book to make sure that play takes place according to the rules, and the commissioner is responsible to make that happen. Now think about that for a moment, because think about what would happen is if the referees on the field decided to make up their own rules. You say, well, the game would soon result in chaos. Because whatever sport you're talking about, if the referee said, oh, go ahead, that's all right, you can do that. Oh, that doesn't matter. Oh, we can do that. Let's do it another way. You know, pretty soon these two teams would be saying, we have no idea what's going on out here. And we have no idea how to play because we don't know whether it's going to go this way or that way. We have no, you know, and this person is not doing the right thing, and they're doing the wrong thing, and they, no, and there's just no, you know, people complain that the referees are not fair enough anyway, but if they determined that they were going to make up their own rules, they'd lose all of their authority. They would have no authority. And soon the game would just cease to be a game, and people would be cease to be interested in watching the games because there's no rhyme and reason for them. That's what's happening in our world. The commissioner in this illustration is God. And he is the truth. And he reveals the truth in our world. And the referees are the ones who uphold that truth. When God gives us that truth, we are like the referees. He gives the truth, and we have the truth, and therefore it is important for us to live according to that truth and abide by the rules. But we're also the players. There's a little bit of difference in this because we're the players in this illustration as well. And we're playing at a time when the other team is not playing according to the rules. In fact, they make up their own rules. And when that happens, what you're going to find is chaos, and it's not going to work. And God says to us, play according to the rules. Play according to the Word of God. Play according to my truth. And we're like saying, I don't think that's going to work. Because everyone else is going to take advantage of us because they're making up their own rules. And God says, stand for the truth. Turn the light on. Because Jesus Christ came into this world of darkness where everyone is making up their own rules. And everyone's doing their own thing. And he comes and he says, this is the truth. And he shines the light of truth into the world. And the world is in darkness. And the world doesn't get it. And the world prefers to play the game in darkness. than have the light of truth shine. We have the truth. And that's why, as Christians, when we go out into the world and people are doing the wrong thing, we go, you're doing the wrong thing. And people say, who are you to tell us that we're doing the wrong thing? And our response is, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I'm just one who knows the Father. I know the Father, and he's given us the rule book. And this rule book that he's given us is for life and how to live life. And if you take the rule book and throw it away and everyone starts doing whatever they want to do, you're going to end up with anarchy. You're going to end up with chaos. But Jesus Christ comes into this world. What's so meaningful is he just keeps saying, when they say, who are you? Who are you to be telling us what the light of the world is? Jesus Christ says, haven't you been listening? I've been saying this from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and to judge concerning you. I'm not only here to say that I know the rules, but I know the rules enough to judge you for not keeping the rules. That's what he's saying. I have many more things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true. I know the one who designed the whole of this world and everything in it. And I know the one who is the morality of this world and is the rules of all of this world. I know him. And he who sent me is true, and the things which I have heard from him, these are the things that I speak to the world. Jesus Christ is not a referee making up his own rules. And he makes that very clear. And Jesus Christ could say, and I am just as reliable as the Father. He could say that, but his point is to say, you need to understand that the Father is revealing himself. This is God revealing himself through me. Because when they look at Jesus Christ, he is the God-man. And they might look and discount him because he is a man. But he is the God-man, and he is the revelation of the Father. And the Bible is the revelation of the Father. We have great certainty of that in the world in which we live. We live in a world that is going like this. It's all over the place. And a lot of the morality has changed in our world. And we stand up with the Word of God, and we say, this is the Word of God. These are his truths. Salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. There's no other way of salvation except by faith in Christ alone. It is the grace of God. It is given. And the world wants to have a form of salvation in which they earn their way to God. The Bible says you have a salvation in which God comes to us and saves us. It's all about him. So it's amazing. But we stand and we tell the truth. And if you are weary in standing for the truth and weary in feeling like you're losing, you need to be reminded of the source of the truth that we have in this world. Christianity is not just the rule of the church of Jesus Christ and a bunch of rules and standards and values and principles and truths that we make up. The Scripture is our authority. Jesus Christ is our authority. And what we have is the very Word of God. And it is given to us that we might stand for the truth. It is given to us that we might proclaim this truth in a world of darkness. Because the world in darkness needs to hear the light of the truth. And they need to hear it. And they need to see the light and see the truth. And we are to shine the light. Can we shine the light into the hearts of people? No, we cannot. Can we manipulate people to be saved? No, we cannot. Can we make God's purposes happen in this world? No. It is God who accomplishes his purposes. It's God who shines the light of the truth into our hearts and into the hearts of many. But he is a gracious God, and he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what he told Jesus Christ when he was departing on the incarnation. Go into all the world and present the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And Jesus Christ comes, well, I am Jesus Christ. And he says, well, that's what you're doing. You are presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And stand for that truth. That's why Jesus never turns off the light. He just keeps boldly shining the light of the truth. And you read this, and sometimes you're kind of, it's almost like you're saying, are these people listening? What's going on? Verse 27, they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. You know, I think there should be another verse in there, you know, it's like, hello? They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father? We have to be careful as Christians when God has shined the light of truth in our own hearts. And we see the truth. That we don't think that those in darkness are just ignoramuses. They're not ignoramuses. They're walking in darkness. They need the light of truth. They're just like we were. Because when the light of truth was shined for us, none of us would have understood it apart from the grace of God. God didn't reveal the truth in Jesus Christ. If he wouldn't have come to this earth, we would not know the truth. And if he didn't reveal the scriptures, we would not know the truth. God has revealed the truth. And he not only inspires the truth, he illuminates the truth. He illuminates the truth in our hearts. So before we get too hard on these individuals and say, what's wrong with these people? Jesus Christ is sort of very clear. I have more things to say to you and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak the things which I heard from him. And earlier he says, you know, neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would also know my Father. He's very clear about this. I mean, it's not obscure language. It's not the lack of clarity in the text. It's the presence of darkness. And that's what you see. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Another alternative in verse 28 would be, and so Jesus Christ said, that's it, I'm going home. But what does he say? He says, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Now notice the interesting thing about the statement that what he says, when you lift up the Son of Man, and that's, he's speaking from the Old Testament. The Son of Man was the Messiah that comes. And when he's using messianic terms when he says this, and when you lift him up, he's speaking of crucifixion. That's the way crucifixion was addressed. They say, oh, they're going to lift that guy up because he committed murder. They're going to lift him up. They don't mean they're going to lift him up and praise him. They mean they're going to lift him up on a cross. They're going to crucify him. They're going to lift him up. So when Jesus Christ says, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Then you will know that I am he. Some of them will know that he is he in judgment. Some of them will know that he is who he is in salvation, but everybody's going to know. And either at the time of the crucifixion or after that or in the time when they stand before him in judgment, they're all going to know. But he says that the lifting up of the Son of Man, and you have the centurion who stood at the cross and watched the whole thing, and when he died and when the things took place, he says certainly this was the Son of God. This is who he claims to be. So, I mean, this is also just simply true in the way in which he said it. But again, it's interesting because Jesus Christ speaks of this, and he doesn't say, please don't turn your ignorance into crucifying me. And the reason why he doesn't say something like that or plead and say, you know, I know you don't get things yet, and you don't understand them, but don't let this misunderstanding and the fact that you don't understand cause you to do something drastic like put me on the cross. Because the Father who has sent him tells him exactly what to say and exactly what to do, including the cross. So Jesus Christ speaks of the cross as a certainty here. When you lift up the Son of Man, how does he know they're going to lift him up?
because that's what he came to do. Because he knows, because the Father told him that's what he's going to do. Everything is given to him from the Father. The truth is given to him. His ministry is given to him. His words that he speaks are given to him. So he says, when you see the Son of Man lifted up, then you will know that I am he. But then notice how he goes back to this connection with the Father. Because he just makes these statements and a number of these really wonderful statements. He says, I don't take any action of myself. I do nothing on my own initiative. Again, that's interesting because he is shining the light. When they don't get it, they don't understand it, they don't want it. He shines the light. He says, you're going to know. When you lift up the Son of Man, you'll know that I am he. But know this. There's no self-action. I do nothing on my own initiative. There is no self-words, self-message. I speak the things as the Father taught me. Now again, that's a very interesting expression when he speaks of the Father teaching the Son, because that's again, I think, sort of this anthropomorphic expression as a father teaches his son, and the pictures of God the Father teaching the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have one mind of God, there's one God. I don't know how this teaching is presented in that way. It isn't like Jesus Christ is ignorant and the Father is teaching Jesus Christ who has no knowledge of anything. He is the Son of God, and he knows. And so the text says very clearly, I speak the things that the Father taught me. The source of every word that you hear, the source of every word that you hear is the Father. So he says, and I'm never alone. I'm never alone. No actions are generated by me. No words are generated by me. And furthermore, though you see me, I'm never alone. He has not left me alone. He has not left me alone. And then he goes on to say, I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Now, I'm thankful that we can have that same standing with God, though we can't say the statements with a certainty that Jesus Christ can, except for the third one. Because we are not to do anything on our own initiative in terms of the ministry of the gospel or the ministry of truth. We are not to speak anything but what the Father has taught us. That's certainly true. But it's also true that he never leaves us alone. That's why Jesus Christ said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always. The same thing that the Father did with reference to him, saying, I want you to go to earth, I want you to reveal me, and I want you to accomplish salvation. I want you to go to the earth, and this is the ministry that you are to have. The Father is the one who arranges the plan of salvation. The Son is the one who carries it out. So here you have this plan and the one who is sent. And Jesus Christ is sent. And then when he turns to us to send us, he says, you now go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I'm with you. And lo, I am with you always. I never leave you alone. He never leaves us. He never leaves us. He no never forsakes us. That's his promise. And I would love to be able to say, and I always do the things that are pleasing to him. But only Christ can make that statement. Christ is the perfect ministry. No self-action, no self-words, never alone, always pleasing to God. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. Tonight I'm going to speak more about being an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and I want to look at this passage in 2 Corinthians 5, because the same kind of ministry is true of us. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we are to represent him. We are to represent His Word. We are to take His truth and make sure that when it goes into our hearts, that it comes out of our mouths as the same truth that God Himself has spoken. We are responsible to speak for Him. And again, it says, as this passage comes to a conclusion, He spoke these words, many believed in Him. He's going to address the nature of that belief, because as the passage continues, He's going to talk about what belief and what true belief looks like. I think many of them believed Him, but not all of them continue to walk in that belief. It's possible for people to give, you know, this belief in a general sense to the things of God. Just as the parable of the sower and the seed, there falls upon the soils and there's those who turn away. He's going to talk about what it means to truly believe in Him. But when they heard Him speak, the response was that they believed Him. That's amazing. Will we see all of these people in heaven when it says and they believed Him? I don't know about that. Some may have just believed Him for that day. He's going to talk about what it means to believe forever. We need to see that truth because Jesus Christ was very much concerned about that as well. But the truth is that when the light shines, there are going to be those who believe in Him. Sometimes we can be fearful in giving the gospel and shining the light because we say, the world's in darkness and I'm going to shine the light and people don't want to see the light. We should not approach evangelism. We should not approach the gospel as though the gospel will fail. We should approach it like the Lord Jesus Christ did and keep shining the light of truth because God is at work in our world today. God is at work in our world today. And as the darkness grows greater, the light shines brighter. And let it shine in our hearts and lives, but our hearts and lives is not the message. The message of the gospel is God's word, which He gave us to give. And yes, we are transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean that our transformation and our presence as the world is the gospel. The gospel message is a message. It is the message of God that He has given to us. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, the Savior, dying upon the cross to save us from our sins. And we say salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. Alone, it's only Him. It's only Christ. And we shine the light brightly in the world. And God is at work. And God will cause that truth to be heard. And we should be encouraged. Even though there's darkness in this world, we should be encouraged. Because God is on our side. The God who shines the light. Jesus is on our side. The one who is the light of the world. The light has not grown dim. The world is growing darker. The light has not grown dim. And God has given us this word and given us the ministry of Jesus Christ, not so that we will say, well, Jesus Christ was unique and this is just only His ministry, but He gives this ministry to us. Let us be faithful. Let us be faithful in standing for the truth. When the world is all over the place with their understanding of morality and their understanding of truth, we stand upon the Word of God. Why? Because it's God's world that we live in and He is the truth. And that truth never changes. And then let us be faithful in giving the gospel of Christ. Why? Because God says to go forth and give it, and it will be effective by the power of God. So let us not be fearful, but let us be courageous, but not in our own strength, but in the strength of God. And may God cause His truth to prevail in our world. Don't be discouraged at the darkness. Be encouraged at the God who is light, shining that light into the hearts and lives of many. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a God who is present with us today and is not silent. We're thankful for the Word that You have given to us, the Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ, and the written Word, the Bible. And we're thankful that both of these accurately, perfectly represent You. Help us to be faithful in revealing that truth. Help us to be faithful in shining the light of truth that You have given to us, and let us shine it brightly in this world. Help us to be people who are loving people, not shining in light of the world because we hate the world. We do not hate the world. We are of this world. We live in this world, not a part of this world. We are of this world. This is the place where we are domain. But Lord, you are the one who shines the light of truth. And we pray that as we shine the light of your truth in your world, that you will cause that light to shine brightly in the hearts of many, revealing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, revealing Jesus Christ as the only Savior, and that salvation is by faith, not by works, but by faith in him. Lord, we pray that you will shine that light in our hearts and shine that light in our lives and shine that light in our world. Give us opportunity to proclaim Christ as Savior and King and Lord, and may your truth prevail in the world in which we live. We ask your blessings to be upon us. Encourage our hearts in the truth. Cause your truth to prevail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. In addition to our website, hillcrestchapel.org, you can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter under Hillcrest Chapel, or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes.